WWE, the custody of a child will be determined in a match.
Oh, I knew he was going to do that. Hulk Hogan is a jabroni, Hollywood blonde, but my boss, Mr. McMahon, is not jabroni. Get away, Mr. Thompson.
Put that cigarette out.
Will you stop?
What's up, Drunk Marks? Welcome to this week's episode of Drunk Wrestling History. I'm your designated host, Adam. With us, as always, is the world champion drunk wrestling historians themselves.
This is Eddie, who's a wazzle.
And this is Scott. It's ghetto blaster time, fool.
All right, so for this week's episode, we are going to take this one back to the year of our Lord, 1989, to Atlanta, Georgia. This episode is all about WCW Starrcade Future Shock. It is the round robin tournament or tournaments for the world heavyweight title and tag team titles. 12 different matches based on a point system. And
because we love to do math and watch wrestling at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're appealing to all demographics. The hardcore wrestlers and the
mathematicians
or
nerds.
If you call me a nerd, that's actually a compliment. So yeah, I mean, and I'm sure to a lot of you as well. I mean, that works out. So yeah, a round robin tournament.
But it is a wrestling podcast. Yeah, I'm sure there are some nerds listening to this.
Yeah, aren't we all?
Yeah. Everything had a strict time limit, and yeah, this was as advertised, it was to determine who was going to be the wrestler of the 90s as they're exiting the 80s, who's going to be the wrestler of the 90s. And in this showcase where they get the last of 80s themes of futuristic looking things with steel tones and colors.
The stage itself
very
was
much.
Extremely elaborate.
The neon, the lights with it, the steel tones, yeah.
The stage is actually like one of the first things in my notes is the stage was fucking cool.
It was cool.
It was really cool.
Yeah, for an 80s pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't seen anything like that before.
And still developing, yeah.
So no, I didn't catch the 90s thing. They said that at the beginning or what?
Well,
I
Future
totally
Shock.
Future Shock.
Yeah, so the idea was kind of to see who was going to lead NWA, WCW into the 90s.
This was December.
It was ending, yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Starrcade is essentially WCW or NWA's WrestleMania event.
Right, right.
It takes place
that.
At the end of the year.
Yeah.
It's always in December. Right. I think most of the time is in December. Maybe sometimes it was around November. But yeah, it's always at the end of the year. But being that it was 1989 leading into a new decade, it was called Future Shock. And as Adam said, who is going to be the singles wrestler of the next decade? Who's going to be the tag team of the next decade?
So that's a pretty cool idea that they did that. They actually did like an 80s into the 90s thing.
Yeah, that was kind of the idea behind this whole thing.
I'm sort of surprised that Vince didn't think to do that. Like, I don't remember anything. The only thing I remember was they had Mike Tyson as a referee in January 1990, and then he got smoked by Buster Douglas, so they got Buster
right.
Douglas.
Get rid of Tyson. Bring
right,
in that
right.
Douglas
That's
guy.
The only thing I remember really kicking off the 90s, so like that was actually a pretty cool idea. So I don't often give credit to WCW for anything, but I will give credit for that. And the stage.
Yeah, the stage was very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, so, before we get to the first match, like I had a couple things, like... So it's at the Omni in Atlanta.
Yes.
Did you notice the crowd at the show?
Being small?
Well, there were a lot of empty seats early
yes.
on. They filled in maybe by like match three or four, but they never, it was obviously not sold out.
Right.
Things weren't going well for even in Atlanta with Ric Flair on the show, things weren't doing exactly well.
Right.
Also, I don't know if either of you guys noticed this, but there were a lot of old people in the audience.
Hmm.
Like it looked like the goddamn Democratic primary in there. So many people were so old.
Alert buttons.
Yeah, right. Looking at hard camera, the left side of the screen, front row, it was like an old women's bridge club sitting in the front row. It was like these three old ladies that had to be like, oh my God, about 104 years old. With the I think one of them had curlers in her hair. Like
they
my
were
grandma
knitting.
Used to have. Yeah. Yeah, they were getting through all of Doom's matches.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they didn't miss much.
It was a very different show from... So back then, I was only watching WWF.
Yes.
It was a very different crowd, very different show.
We had a cheater box. And that's how I watched this show.
Yeah, well, you're a scoundrel. I'm not.
Well, I understand this, yes. Yeah. My parents were the biggest thieves.
Yeah, there was also like an old dude who had like a... He was an old man, and he had like a chick... Early on, I thought she was younger, and she looked kind of, I don't know, man. I thought she was maybe a hooker, and he got the girlfriend package for the weekend.
Could that have been Ole Anderson and Missy Hyatt?
No. No, you sure? It wasn't them. No, no. Okay. It's definitely not them.
Jim Kelly but and then Missy
I saw,
Hyatt?
But then I saw they got, like, I think someone out of the ring, and you could see her later, and you're like, nah, she's as old as he is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was just trick photography.
I think she was in, like, a sparkly cowboy hat or something. But it was just like production wise, it was kind of also, it looked like there were, who were the hookers at ringside? There were like, did you notice the chicks at the beginning during the intro?
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure. Like I figured those were like a precursor to the Nitro Girls.
So they ended up being the chicks who ran the scoreboard.
Oh, right. But it looked right,
like
right,
they had
right.
a couple of hookers. Like Ric Flair, like had his chicks waiting for him.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
They went the cheetahs. Before the show, and they're like, let's just round a few of these up and bring them back to the
right, right. The yeah, arena. It was kind of a trip. Yeah, yeah.
That would have totally been WCW back in the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the Ric Flair thing to
but
do.
But let's get into it.
All right, so started off with, or did it start? Yeah. For the tag team tournament, participants were Doom, Butch Reed, and Ron Simmons.
Which we didn't know that at the time. They were under masks.
Yeah. The Steiner Brothers. Let's see. Road Warriors. And...
Samoans
and,
watching.
And the, yeah.
No, the Wild
the
Samoans.
New, the new Wild Samoans.
Shit.
Sad.
It,
manage
it's
your beer,
it's
sir.
It's a beer party foul that just took place here.
All right. Ed had to take the headphones off.
Go ahead. You guys go on without me. I got to get a towel.
He shot his Guinness load all over the table.
I did.
He's so embarrassed right now. So while he's gone, let's kind of lay it out. We had four tag teams and four singles competitors. We had on the tag team side, as you just mentioned, Adam,
mm-hmm.
Doom, who at the time were under masks and were accompanied to the ring by Woman and Nitron. Or Nitron. Thank you.
Yeah.
Nitron,
yes.
I thought his name was Metron.
No, I thought it was Nitro, but we were both wrong. It's Nitron.
Okay.
Then we had the Wild Samoans or the New Samoans, who I thought was just the SST. Then we had not the Freebirds, not the Midnight Express. We had the Steiners, and we had the Road Warriors. And on the single side, we had Sting, Ric Flair, Lex Luger, and the Great Muta. And it was essentially round robin of... I still can't figure it out today how they left the Freebirds and the Midnight Express off of this show.
Well, why don't you go into how a round robin works? Because I'd heard of a round robin before, but I never... That's like a softball thing?
Is it that kind of is, yeah. It's where you
it's
face...
It's popular in sports. Pretty much tournament-wise, like there could be like a winning bracket or a losing bracket or a tournament of like win and move on. In this case, it is point-based, similar to World Cup. I think that's one of the most notable ones where you're put into a group, and you play everyone in your group, just like how in the NFL you're required to play all the teams in your division away and at home. That is a way of determining some quality wins if there ends up being any tiebreakers.
It's already complicated.
Yeah, very complicated. Yes.
Start. Sports mind is working here. So, round robin, pretty much you get a certain number of points depending on the quality of your performance, whether it is a win, a tie, or a loss. Pretty much highest amount of points if you win a match, lower amount of points if you draw, usually no points if you lose. And, yeah, just the way that this was explained at the top of the match by the commentators – it just seems like the whole trying to compete with WWE, the macho talk consistently and trying to explain all these very intricate rules didn't really work in my case when watching. But yeah, just a complicated round robin for that ended up being very exhausting watching these.
Yeah, there was no reason for it.
No, right? Totally not.
This is when, was Jim Herd in charge?
He was.
See, that's why I thought, because I was like, I saw it and I was like, this had to be Herd because...
It was.
Because Jim Herd seems too stupid for math.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So like, it seems like he came up with some weird ass complicated thing that didn't even make any sense.
Right.
So right off the bat, it's a stupid ass show.
Right, and this is your flagship show.
Yeah,
much like WrestleMania to WWE.
That's like and putting only a stipulation on your flagship show instead of being your big showcase.
And you're only featuring 12 performers.
That's the craziest part about it.
I don't get it. It made no sense
whatsoever.
No, not at all. And especially when you're going to have really bad showings for a tag team and one of the singles guys. Mm-hmm. It made no sense.
Yeah,
you'd want to fill the card with as many of your talents as you can so they all get a payday. But there were so many people left off of this card, and it's baffling. And I know we actually are kind of doing this one because you were listening to Jim Cornette sort of bash Starrcade 89 Future Shock.
Yeah, and he was saying it was just a shit show.
Right.
And I was like, oh, why? And I kind of missed what he was saying. I just kind of heard him say just that specifically.
Yes.
I sort of missed the setup to that, and I was like, oh, why? What's wrong with it? And then I asked you and you explained it and I was like, what the fuck is round robin? Like, I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's like what Sid's up to, I guess. And then I watched it and I was like,
that was a softball joke, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. And I watched it, I was like, this is a disaster.
It really was.
Disaster.
Yes, it really was. And it's kind of oversaturation of a guy during the course of a show.
Yeah.
Like, do you really want to see 3 Flair matches in one show? Do you really want to see 3 Road Warriors matches in a show? Well, some people might answer yes to that, but do you want to watch 3 Samoans matches in a show?
That's the thing.
Or do you want to watch 3 Luger matches in a show?
Right. So WrestleMania 4 was the tournament, and we got 4 Macho Man and 4 Ted DiBiase. Well, we got 3 Ted DiBiase matches.
Yes.
But 4 Macho Man matches, right? That's cool, because those are the top guys.
And they were all kind of different matches, too.
Right. What we didn't get is 4 Greg the Hammer Valentine matches.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
A single elimination tournament, I think, works way, way, way better than a stupid-ass round robin.
Much better suited to something like this. And also, that, as Adam mentioned earlier, there was nothing really riding on it other than you're the face of the promotion heading forward. Typically, it's your flagship pay-per-view. You want some titles defended.
Yeah.
Your tag team titles, your Intercontinental or U.S. title, whatever it might be, your heavyweight title. No title defenses at this. Going into it, Flair was the heavyweight champion. Lex Luger was the United States champion, and the tag team champions were the Steiner brothers. Going into it with the name alone of Future Shock, you already knew that Sting was going to be WCW or NWA's guy moving into the next decade. That was clear. And you were fairly certain, given the teams that were entering this thing, with no Midnight Express, no Freebirds, the Steiners were kind of the guys that WCW was looking at as to be their next tag team of the decade. Those going into this were my picks to win. And it was funny later on in the show at the very end, Sting is facing Ric Flair and Jim Ross makes a call that Sting was not the favorite in this tournament to win it. No, actually, Jim Ross, he totally was the favorite to win this. Like, he was clearly WCW's guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so let's get into the show.
Yeah, if we have to.
So look, we get to sit here and bury it and never actually talk about the matches.
Well, no, we totally could, because there's so much to bury. Because it's funny, when I was younger, this to me was incredible. Mm-hmm. I thought this was one of the best pay-per-views I had ever seen, because I finally got to see the Road Warriors versus the Steiners. And I guess if you had to pick one plus out of this card, it's that you did get some dream matches. You got to see Sting versus Luger again. You got to see Sting versus Flair again. You got to see the Road Warriors and the Steiners. The Steiners and the Samoans, or the Steiners and Doom. Like, these really cool matches. But it was the repetitive nature of the round robin concept that I think really was just kind of... It got you into a lull a little bit. And you're just like, again. So this one, to me, I thought was cool when I was younger. But as I and the pay-per-view itself have aged, it hasn't really held up all that well.
You've aged, yes.
I've not great either.
Like, I think this pay-per-view's aged better than you have.
Like a disgusting wine, not a fine wine.
You've aged like shellfish.
Thank you. Yes.
It worked, before we get into the match, the way it worked was a pinfall or submission was worth 20 points.
Yes.
A count-out victory was 15 points. A DQ victory was 10. A draw was 5. And a loss was 0.
Horrible. Like, already... You're so confusing. Like, I have to have pen and paper at home watching this pay-per-view. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, after a few matches, you're like lost and you don't even know who's
exactly
what's what. You would have to like have a pencil and paper with you.
Yes.
Exactly. And also, I would also figure that if you were in the crowd, you all, even though all the numbers are posted around, it's hard for you to concentrate on the match itself because you also have to wonder, wait, what's the math? How do I cheer about this? So, mm-hmm. yeah, just an added layer of distraction to it.
I thought one thing that was cool for the commentary is that they had Jim Cornette come in for the tag matches.
Yes.
Jim Ross was your main announcer.
Yeah.
But his color guys, he would bring in Cornette for the tag matches and Terry Funk for the singles
matches.
That
was actually really cool.
Yeah, I thought that was a neat idea.
Right, yeah, and Corny had a Santa Claus tennis racket cover.
He was very festive.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was like bedazzled too.
Yeah, his mom did it.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty cool. And then, they have, like we said earlier, they have the really cool stage.
Yes.
And then they introduced, so for both tournaments, they introduced all four participants and they were on different tiers.
Yes.
And in typical WCW fashion, they stepped on their own dick by introducing Sting, but they had Lex Luger on the screen. Like the announcer saying Sting and Luger's on the screen. I might be wrong about which guys it was, but they totally botched that.
They did. They did the tag team side too.
And I was like, you guys, dude, this is so cool looking. You couldn't rehearse this first?
Yeah, and it was leading off the show.
Yeah, it was leading off the show.
You're already right off on the wrong foot.
Right away, they're fucking it up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, losers.
So, I mean, do you go match by match, or do you just...
I mean, I think so. But they were all short matches, so...
Yeah, they really were. Yeah. They really were. And, let's just get into the matches.
All right.
Steiner Brothers versus Doom.
So, Doom were... Okay, they had Woman...
Yes, and you would think by looking at Doom, they would have had a stranglehold on this whole tournament.
Well, with having Woman in their corner, yeah.
Well, you would think so, but instead they choked.
Yeah.
Doom, this entire tournament, spoiler alert, got 0 points. Zero. And shame on me because I had no idea this was Butch Reed and Ron Simmons. I still kick my own ass for thinking that these were two other guys. And then they took the masks off and I'm like... Fuck, of course it was Ron Simmons and Butch Reed.
So watching it, I was like, because they were Doom number one or Doom number two, I was like, they're the shitty conquistadors.
Yeah, and that's the bad part is they weren't numbered. How was Jim Ross managing and keeping track of Doom 1 and Doom 2? It was the dumbest possible thing to put masks on these guys.
Yeah.
They were marketable without the masks. They didn't need that. It actually made them worse.
Right. Yeah. And watching the match, kind of the main takeaway for me was how green Doom were.
Scott Steiner was too, though, to be perfectly honest.
I mean, I think they all were, really. And actually, like, looking at the entire show... The talent in WCW was much younger in general than WWF would have been at the time.
For sure,
right?
Yes. Because
you would have had guys like in their 40s in WWF, you know, like with Valentine and Snuka and Piper, like older guys. WCW definitely had, apart from Flair, they were mostly younger guys, like in their mid-20s maybe. But like they did some stupid shit, right? So there was one part where one of the signers gave Atomic Drop to Doom number two right into his own corner.
Yep.
3 feet from Doom number one.
Yes.
And like, it wasn't time to tag out yet. So Doom number two had to kind of stand there, like selling it with his arm straight down. And Doom number one kind of had to stand there looking like a fucking moron.
Yes.
And it was just like, I could just tell like that was an inexperienced thing.
Yes. And I would say maybe that was more so Ron Simmons than Butch Reed.
Probably.
Because Ron Simmons, it was only maybe 2-3 years pro at this point.
Yeah.
Scott Steiner, less than that.
Right.
So, just a little green. Like,
right.
Sting progressed really, really fast.
Yeah.
Some of the other guys, questionable.
Yeah. And at one point, one of the Steiners ended up outside the ring and what's his name? Nitron.
Nitron.
I could have sworn they were saying Metron. And I don't remember this motherfucker at all.
Well, I don't think he did anything else.
Yeah. Nitron was punching the dude and he was throwing the shittiest punches I've ever seen in my life.
Like AEW.
No, I was going to say not Dark Order bad, but. Like a step from Dark Order bad. I mean, it was bad. Just like
Dark Order should look into hiring that guy.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's actually he wouldn't be the worst puncher.
He's not the worst puncher.
Yeah. So it ended up with Doom getting counted out. So the Steiners got 15 points.
Yes.
And the whole thing was goofy.
Yeah, and you're already having pen and paper trying to keep track of who's with points.
Yeah.
Because math is fun when you're watching wrestling pay per views. Damn.
Love it.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
All right. So next one is the first of the world title singles matches, Sting versus Lex Luger.
Yeah, and they did the same thing. They introed them all.
Yep.
Oh, you know what I noticed is they did not introduce the managers on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when they introduced them, because, you know, they'll be like, accompanied by Jimmy Hart. There was no accompanied by woman. There was no accompanied by
Humperdinck,
which, okay, you and I got into this. Oliver Humperdinck was trash, right?
Pretty useless.
Like, how did he even get a job? Like, he was...
Did he train guys? Like, he was a manager in World Class, I believe. And then when Bigelow came into the WWF, Humperdinck came with him.
I think he
got the job through being in, like, World Class, maybe?
And I think Bam Bam was the only guy he managed, right? I mean, he had a really short run in WWF.
He did, yes. And that's the only guy that he did manage. To the best of my knowledge, that's the only guy.
Yeah, and he was just garbage. Like, he just kind of
was like,
why is he
even there?
Didn't bring
much. Like, Frenchie Martin. We had the conversation about Frenchie. Like, right. Yeah, kind of the same, like, yeah. I don't know why you're here.
Yeah, he sucked.
Coach with Mr. Perfect, too.
Yeah, like another guy who just didn't need anybody.
Yeah, why was he there?
Yeah, it was dumb.
At least, like, Jimmy Valiant put his cigar out in people's eyes. Like, that was cool.
Yeah, that was...
That's useful.
Right, well, and Brutus Beefcake and Gray Valentine weren't fantastic at the time.
Right, they needed kind of a mouthpiece and a flashy guy in their corner, and he fit the bill for that.
Yeah, right.
So he was useful. Humperdinck, not so much.
No.
Totally agree with you.
Yeah.
So undeserving of an introduction.
Yeah, they shouldn't have introduced him anyway.
Yes.
By the way, I'm like totally jumping ahead because he's not even part of this match.
Yeah, fuck him.
Which is another weird thing that'll come up later on. So, Sting versus Lex Luger. Sting was the fucking star here. You could tell from watching this. Sting, you definitely could tell they both had potential, but Sting was going to be the man between the two of them.
Yes, for sure.
Sting at one point dove at Luger over the top rope. I think Luger ducked, and Sting caught himself on the top rope and didn't hit the floor.
Yeah.
Kind of the way like HBK would go over the top rope and grab it.
Yep.
But he dove over it.
And you can't teach that. That's just instinct that's there or it's not. And Sting showed very early in his career that he had it.
Right. I rewound it a couple times and watched it. And I was like, God damn, WCW picked the right fucking Blade Runner.
Yes, they did.
Right?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. I mean, they got a 20-year run out of that guy.
Yes, they did.
Or no, I guess not 20, but.
Maybe by like 1990, 12. They weren't too sure when he was facing Hogan at 6. I'm talking about the Ultimate Warrior.
Right.
But man, in like 97, that whole Starcade 97 thing with Hogan and Sting.
Yeah.
They had to feel really strong with their pick.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, there was also a spot where I think I took a picture of it and sent it to you. I got to tweet the picture where Luger was so, I guess it was another situation where he was kind of green.
Luger was very green, yes.
He picked Sting up by his dick to give him a gut buster. Like, legit lifted him by his dick. Like, I was like, what kind of move is this, dude? This is like the flying butt pliers or something like this, right?
You flying know asshole. I
mean? Yeah, like, he's picked him up by his dick and fucking dropped him on his stomach and, like, kind of held on to him still.
He needed a handle.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't know how to grab you, so I'll just grab you by here.
Which is the Bushwhacker School of Wrestling.
Right, yeah. it was crazy.
Luger won this one by pinfall. He cheated to win.
Mm-hmm.
Got his points.
Yeah, and that was the one where they were fucking around. Like, Luger was outside the ring, or Sting was outside the ring.
Yeah.
Luger was struggling to get in. It looked really sloppy and weird, but then Luger
finish was not great.
I actually kind of liked it because it looked real. You know what I mean? Like, it looked like a real fight. Everything doesn't go over smoothly.
Yeah, and the way he was holding him down was kind of awkward, so it could have kind of been real. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
based on reality, the concept.
Right, they completely fucked it up, but it sort of was like MMA-ish to me.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
you know? The truth.
Yeah, so, I could see that.
Yeah, so like, I don't want to give Luger too much credit, but that was sort of how it came off for me.
All right.
And then after that, that's when we discover the hookers are keeping score.
Yes.
Because that's the first time we see the scoreboard.
That Cheetah's getting that double payday.
Mm-hmm.
Road Warriors versus Doom.
So right away, the second match is another Doom match.
Another Doom match. Right? They had just wrestled.
Yeah.
And here becomes the repetitive, why are they out? They just wrestled two matches ago. Here they go again. That's a huge disadvantage.
I mean, right off the bat, you couldn't even start with the next two that didn't wrestle on.
Yeah, exactly. Category. Like, why not the Steiners and the SST? What's going on here?
Yeah, and it was so also the commentators didn't know who was Doom number one or Doom number two.
They were guessing the entire show. Jim Ross, poor guy.
So Cornette actually said, let's just call the guy who's in the ring first Doom number one and go from there.
Yes.
And that was
Jim Cornette's genius.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't want to get in trouble on Twitter for saying how good Jim Cornette is, but.
But look, actually, we can all agree he has a great wrestling mind. Well, I don't know if we can all agree on that, but yeah. I think he has a great wrestling mind.
Well, I think most of the people who listen to this podcast are pretty cool. They probably would be cool, Jim Cornette.
It, regardless of what you think about what he said and how he got into trouble, the dude knows his shit.
Right.
Like, yeah. I mean, especially for his commentating in 89, the guy definitely knew his shit.
Right, you don't have a 25, 30-year career without knowing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Did you notice Bill Apter was at ringside?
I did.
Uh-huh. And he was like in a Mr. Rogers sweater, like a bright red sweater.
What the hell was that all about?
Yeah, and Cornette actually mentioned that. He said, oh, yep. You can always tell Apter because he's in a... Apter's like kind of... Does he seem like a weird dude to you?
He does, totally. And he's actually been at a few wrestling conventions I've been to.
Oh,
and
you
he'll
met
just
him?
Like, I mean, I've never had a conversation with the guy, but he's been at conventions. And he's always got a microphone in his hand, and he's always like talking to the crowd. He's like the MC of a wrestling convention.
Okay.
It's really bizarre. But yeah. He's kind of quirky.
Right. He seems like a weird dude. Like, I picture him like he's lived in the same like rent-controlled apartment in New York.
Yeah.
Since the 70s, and like maybe his mom lives there, and like it might be, like he's probably got a cat that he doesn't take very good care of.
Right.
And like it might be one of those ones with the communal bathrooms, like everyone on the same like maybe High Pitch Eric lives on the same floor as him in his building.
It wouldn't surprise me, yeah.
Yeah, like he just seems like kind of a weird quirky dude.
Stuttering John slept on his couch at one point.
Don't talk about him.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so the thing I noticed the most about this match was Doom beat the fuck out of Hawk.
They did.
They kicked Hawk's ass. I've never seen Hawk get his ass kicked like this. They beat the fuck out of him.
But that was kind of a Road Warriors match. When you went a little bit longer with it,
yeah.
Is one of the Road Warriors would take a beating, and then you have your big comeback.
Right. I mean, yeah, you get the hot tag, but I don't think I've ever seen one of them take a beating like this.
It was
like,
pretty good.
I sort of was like, are they kind of throwing Doom a bone because of the way Doom's going to be treated?
That could have been.
Like, let's not make him look completely like shit.
And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if that was the Road Warriors doing.
Yeah.
Like,
could
we
be.
Feel horrible for you guys. Like, yeah. let's get some moves over for you guys and make you look like $1 million.
Right. Yeah, and the Road Warriors kind of snuck out a win.
They did,
I
yes.
I think that was when, I'm trying to remember how they... I kind of forget the finish. I just remember it was like...
One of them kind of went for like a tackle or something. And he kind of like bounced off one of the Warriors. And the other one like gave him a clothesline off the top. Right? Hawk gave him a clothesline off the top rope and just pinned him.
Right.
It was kind of like a botched looking finish.
Right.
It looked better in slow-mo afterwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of one of those weird ones that, okay, Doom could have won this.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right. Next one of the night would be Ric Flair versus the Great Muta.
Man, Muta. I know you aren't super familiar with the Great Muta. The dude was a phenom in WCW and should have had a great showing at this show.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was up against Flair, I'm like, okay, this is your chance. If you're going to be building stars, if this is really Future Shock, I'm thinking the final two guys,
you're set up for it.
Exactly. If you're going to build for two young guys to take this into the next decade, what two better guys? Because I wasn't sold on Luger, Muta and Sting. And I was thinking you're building up to a final of those two guys. But then Flair becomes the first guy in WCW to pin Muta.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. I didn't know going into this that Muta had never been pinned.
Had never been pinned.
Yeah, and Muta was... That guy was awesome, dude. I've only seen a little bit of his stuff, but that dude was good.
Oh, he was fantastic.
He was really cool.
Everything he did was crisp.
Yeah.
It had
meaning
to it, and everything just kind of snapped when he did it, and he was so sharp in the ring. You could see it against that match, or in that match against Flair.
Right.
And unfortunately, they basically just fed him to Flair, and to this day, I don't understand why.
Well, and the match was only like 2 or 3 minutes long.
It was
really
short, and it was outside interference.
Well, I think that was sort of to protect Muta because the Horseman ran in, and then who the hell else ran in?
His team of like Buzz Sawyer and like the Gary Hart family kind of came in to mess around.
Right.
And he missed like a moonsault or something.
He missed the moonsault and
caught the knees.
Yeah. Flair blocked it and he just pinned him.
Yeah, he rolled him up.
But it was 3 minutes or something like that.
It was a
really short match.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was like, I think it was designed maybe to protect Muta, but it didn't really, I didn't think it helped. I thought Muta came off looking terrible.
Yeah, it was bad, because especially in such a short form match, like he and Sting had torn the house down at shows before that, and you're thinking, okay, he's going to give Flair a hell of a match, he's going to get the win, and it'll be Sting and Muda as the two guys to kind of like who's the next person to lead WCW in the next decade. But he,
did Muda leave soon after that or anything like that?
He wasn't around very much longer.
So I wonder if that was, I wonder if they knew that was happening.
Possibly.
Because like he, Muda was like the jobber of the fucking show.
Him and Doom.
Him and Doom. So I wonder, yeah, like Doom, obviously Doom weren't going anywhere, but I kind of, that was sort of the first thing I thought when I saw it. I was like, wow, did Muda leave kind of right after?
Was not around much longer. So, and they must have had advance notice that, he wasn't going to be sticking around. That makes sense. But, you know, when you're watching this, excuse me, when you're watching this in 1989, you don't know that.
Yeah.
And right. Muda has been built up to such a level that you're thinking he's going to be going in a certain direction with a push. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's completely derailed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Spoiler alert. 0 points for Muda the entire tournament.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's nuts.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
It was Road Warriors and Steiner Brothers.
This was my dream match of the card.
Yeah.
This was the one that I do. This is the one I really wanted to see. And actually, Corny talked about this one in trying to come up with a finish because it was always protect the Road Warriors.
Right.
No matter what, protect the Road Warriors. Didn't matter the Steiners were younger. They were going to be your next tag team of the decade. Protect the Road Warriors. And Corny was giving them ideas because the Steiners went over in this. Kind of a weird finish, too. It was like one of those back soup, like Hercules and Haku from WrestleMania 5. Right. Belly to back suplex, one lifts the shoulder. Kind of like that. And Corny had actually come up with another finish that was going to protect the Road Warriors even more. But Steiners went over. It was an okay match.
Yeah.
You could kind of see, like you had mentioned earlier, some of these guys were a little green still, specifically Scott Steiner. Rick Steiner, not super great, but you could see a lot of promise there, and there was some polish.
Right, right.
But, really shocking to see the Road Warriors lose. That was just something you did not see. It was like seeing a Hogan pinfall
in the 80s. And I didn't know that going into this.
Yeah.
You know, because I hadn't seen this, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And definitely that kind of protected the Road Warriors. Like,
totally.
It was pretty, you know, like kind of knowing what's going on.
Yes.
You get it.
Right.
And it definitely did the job. So I think it was booked well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of weird too, because did you notice, or I don't know if you noticed, but at this point, we've seen both teams twice, right?
Yes.
We haven't seen the Samoans.
Correct.
Not until right? the second half.
Exactly. Isn't that weird?
Very weird.
Is that typical for a round robin?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
No, like, definitely
that's
not.
That's exactly what I thought. Like,
usually, if pairs of matches within a same group or division are taking place, they would be the same day, which would mean that each team is playing each other. Therefore, you can't really mess up with, like, on consecutive matches that one is going to be tired out for their next one. Cause everyone is going to have an equal amount of time and rest or just a general interval between each one.
Right. It was really weird.
So this was just really offset.
And you start to think, okay, maybe they're giving an advantage to the Samoans here. Are they going to have the Samoans that. Like,
I thought that too, because like I said, I didn't know who won any of this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was really weird.
Yeah, you start to think, okay, maybe that's the team that's going to win this thing.
Did you notice when Animal took that clothesline to the mouth from one of the Doom guys, like, just stuck his ass right in the mouth?
Oh, really?
Fucked him up, dude. Yeah, if you go back and watch it, it was pretty early on.
Okay.
And he got hit with the clothesline, and it was right to the mouth, and he was, like, grabbing his mouth.
This was in the Doom and Road Warriors match.
A Doom and Road Warriors match.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm sorry. No. Steiner's Road Warrior match.
Oh, okay.
This match. I don't know why I said Doom. I forget which one it was. Fucked him up, dude. Just clobbered him right in the mouth. But like his arm came right across Animal's mouth. And you can see Animal's fucked up.
Damn.
Yeah. Like I think he dropped down to one knee for a minute.
Oh.
Yeah. And like clearly the Steiners were sort of stalling. You know, okay. To give him a second.
Yeah.
Fucked him up. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Damn.
Actually. Yeah. It was a stiff match. Actually, I liked that match a lot. It was rough. They beat each other's asses.
Yeah.
It was cool. And yeah.
And they were both trying to play the role of face.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then you could see the tension starting to build as the match went on. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Then they went to the scoreboard after that. And I don't remember if that was like the second time the scoreboard just was so stupid.
Ugh.
It was just dumb, and it was the chicks putting the things up there, and it looked cheap, and it was like they spent all their money on that stage.
Yes, that's where the budget went. They couldn't
lay any more on the
they had like $7 to build that scoreboard.
Yeah, and couldn't afford to put any more talent on the
show. Our fantasy draft board for our fantasy league is better than that scoreboard was.
Yes, it is. I agree.
I'm going to say, like, even sports events in the 80s before score bars or score boxes that would show live details of the game, even they showed the digital clock that was out there. This one, they didn't even do that.
Yeah. It was lame.
Yeah, for future 89 per se standards. All right, so match number 6 would be Great Muta and Sting. The dream match that you wanted at the end, but unfortunately, you got it in the middle.
And following the other dream match that I wanted to see with the Road Warriors and the Steiners, and Sting goes over Muta. But they had been kind of going back and forth, having some really good matches, so it was cool to see Sting get the win here.
That was the right move.
It was definitely the right move. So if Muta was going to lose a match on the card, it should have only been to Sting.
Mm-hmm.
And they got that one out of the way here.
Yeah. Did you notice that Muta's hair had not been fixed since his first match?
Nor his makeup.
His makeup. Either. But yes. His makeup wasn't that bad yet.
Yet.
But his hair was a wreck. And like everybody else, I think, was it Flair? It was Flair, maybe the Steiners were changing costumes every match.
Lex Luger did too.
Luger, yeah. A couple of them were
redoing his hair.
Yeah, a couple were right. They were like doing costume changes like Lady Gaga. Yes.
Yeah.
But Muta comes up with his hair all fucking fucked up.
Yeah, but I think Sting only wore the same outfit once. I think he changed for the final match, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. All right. Yeah, there was a spot where Sting was doing a superplex. And his leg went out. He almost killed Muta.
Gosh,
he almost
dropped
him on his damn head. And I was like, that should be the finish. Like, that would have been a great finish.
Yeah.
I forget exactly what the finish was, but it wasn't as good as that would have been.
Yeah, like he legit almost killed him.
Yeah, right. I was like, oh, yeah, pin him. Yeah. He's dead.
Yeah, we'll buy it.
Yeah, right.
All right. 7th match. You finally get first appearance of New Wild Samoans taking on Doom.
Yeah, so this was after like a little mini halftime break, right? Yes. I think they actually called it halftime or something.
Something like that,
and that was when I really noticed the lack of Doom, or lack of the Samoans.
The Samoans, yeah.
When I was like,
they even mentioned it, or just said, like, they've got the advantage. This is a round-robin tournament, so why didn't you... I mean, you're trying to advertise that because you know that you fucked up with the format.
Yeah. It's almost halftime. The first time we're seeing them.
Yeah, it was weird. It was cool.
We've seen them multiple times.
Yeah, it was cool though when the Samoans came out because I felt like at home, right? Because like I live in a fairly Samoan neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's like most of my neighborhood, there's a lot of Samoans and Hawaiians, a lot of Polynesians in my neighborhood, and I was like, oh, look at that. Like I feel like these guys could live next door to me. Like and do concrete work outside my house.
And this is a precursor to the Head Shrinkers.
Yeah, and Rikishi looked like a mini Rikishi.
Yes, he did.
Right?
He looked
like re-mini.
Right, like when Fat Bastard lost all that weight. Like, you could still tell it was him.
Right,
like
yeah.
Like, the opposite. Like, it was mini Rikishi.
Yeah, right.
Hey, powers! I lost 9... Oh, shoot. Now I'm feeling really bad not knowing this. I've lost 280 pounds. I do have a little excess skin, though. And unfortunately, my neck does look like a vagina.
Okay.
Sorry, had to get that. God,
that was great.
I should say Fat Bastard every episode so he does that.
Can you?
I will.
Can you crowbar him in?
I will.
Who came up with
it
this
looks
damn
like a baby.
Who came up with the Samoans have a hard head shit?
Dude, like the 70s, I think.
Right? Like every Samoan wrestler ever has a hard head.
And most black wrestlers have a hard head.
Right. And every Samoan gets headbutted.
Right.
Right? Like, you might have, like, 50 matches a year and never headbutt anyone until you get in the ring with a Samoan.
Right.
And you headbutt them and fuck yourself up.
Yep.
Like,
or you go to put their head into the turnbuckle and they just turn around and look at you.
Yeah.
That was a staple.
Right. Like, the Rock's the only one that didn't have that thing as a Samoan.
Yeah, he didn't have that power.
I want to say, like, a week or two ago on NXT, Bronson Reed?
Okay.
Bronson Reed, I think is his name, is Samoan. And like someone like Dijakovic hit him in the head and they were like, oh, these Samoans have hard heads.
Oh, they're bringing it back.
And I was like, well, there's still a little bit of racism in wrestling.
Yeah.
We'll never get rid of that one.
Nah, it's always going to be there.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. But this is when Oliver Humperdinck came out and he's like barefoot with his like shirt unbuttoned, and like I think he had like shells around his neck or something. Like he was very like islandy.
Yeah, bringing nothing to the table as usual.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But it was them and who was it? Doom. It was fine, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Again, Doom losing the match.
Yeah.
0 points.
Yeah, I think this. I think one of the Samoans, one of the Doom guys, ran into each other, like headbutted each other.
Yes.
Right, and then the Doom dude was standing up, the Samoan was down.
Yeah.
And he took like a weird, like a very clearly set up bump to land right in front of the Doom guy.
Right.
Right. If you noticed it, and I was like, this is two more. Doom, I thought were green already. But now the Samoans are too. Like,
yeah.
And then Oliver Humperdinck pushed the Doom dude on.
Pushed
him
on. Yes.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was a way to. I think it was a little bit of protecting Doom, because like Humperdinck helped him win.
But
you
could have thrown him a bone. Like the Samoans weren't going to win anyway. But they had to beat Doom. Like Doom had to walk away with 0 points.
I think it was Herd being bad at math.
It must have been.
It was like us on the Andre episode when I was trying to do math. Like maybe Herd was drunk.
Possibly. Possibly.
Or just fucking dumb.
Yeah. Flair to get a haircut while we're at it.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. And wear a helmet.
Well, the good thing for Doom is that they rebounded very nicely from this.
Yeah, yeah.
After losing and getting 0 points in this whole thing, they eventually unmasked.
Mm-hmm.
And they eventually won the tag team titles. And had one of my favorite Starrcade matches ever the following year against Barry Windham and Arn Anderson in the street fight. And it was fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah, so Doom, for them, it got way better. Like, sky's the limit after this pay-per-view. This made them look not the greatest, but they had an awesome, awesome career after, post, Starrcade 89. Same cannot be said for Muta.
Right, right.
He was gone shortly after.
Okay.
Walked away with 0 points.
What's up next?
All right, so right after that would be Ric Flair and Lex Luger.
Who won this match?
Flair.
This says a time limit draw.
Okay, thank you. So they drew.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought Flair won because, you know what? This was the one that the time limit ran up when Flair had Luger in a figure four.
Okay, right. Yes.
And that figure four was the most I've ever... That and the next match were the most I've ever liked Lex Luger. I've never been a huge Lex Luger fan.
Right.
I made a lot of really rude jokes about him when he got paralyzed before he was going to be at that convention at the Cow Palace
Yeah.
Yeah, I was... That was regrettable the way I acted about him. But I don't regret it. No, I shouldn't be a dick. I'm sure he's a nice guy. You know, like he killed Elizabeth, but we've established in the WrestleMania 5 episode she was a bit whorish.
Jesse Ventura, high five.
And subscribe.
Anyway, I loved the end of this match because Flair had Luger in the figure four, and Luger sold it like his leg was being sawed off.
Yes.
I mean, he was going berserk, slamming his hands on the mat, rolling around like he was just fucking him up.
Right.
It looked like, I was like, wow, that was the best performance of Lex Luger ever. As like a not Lex Luger fan, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, you wanted to see his legs breaking.
Yeah. Hang on, we're being interrupted.
Sorry, super sidebar, but Drunk Shannon just told me an amazing story where when she was giving birth to your daughter, you were talking to the doctor about WrestleMania?
I was talking to him about wrestling. We were actually like,
that sounds right.
She was in labor, and she was like, why the fuck are you talking about wrestling to my doctor?
And she told me to shut the fuck up with her eyes.
What, like there was something so interesting going on?
That sounds wrestling. Like,
yeah.
He mentioned like 80s NWA, and I was like, dude.
No, props. I would high five you at coronavirus.
Well, hey, yeah, no touching.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was like the funniest thing I've ever heard.
I like it.
It was so hot. You were agape.
Oof.
That's
all right. Okay. Oh. So, what matches up next? So it was a time limit draw, 5 points each.
Yeah. Unclimactic for the tournament. Steiner Brothers against the Wild Samoans.
So Rick Steiner, for some reason, looked afraid of the ramp.
He did the way he was like kind of like sidestepping it.
Yeah, he was like walked down it sideways the way you walk down a steep hill so you don't fall. Like he was afraid to fall down the ramp.
A terrible execution of, okay, you fatigue. You've done this much for the night, but.
Like it was his first time walking the ramp, but it wasn't.
Like, and then they get down to the ring and they gave their damn belts to a kid.
Yes.
But the kid had the kid's face was painted like the Ultimate Warrior.
Yes, it was.
Right?
And okay, they sat him at ringside, like in front of the railing. Yes.
Okay, because I was like, is that Sting? But like not very good. I was like, no, that's definitely Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
He painted his face like Ultimate Warrior.
Like the poor kid probably thought he was going to a WWF show.
Yeah.
His parents took him to this instead, and he's like, damn it.
Yeah, he's like, what is this bootleg shit?
Yeah, this is great value wrestling.
Yeah. And then the match itself was, there was a lot of like bullshit, like not a lot of wrestling, a lot of vamping, like a lot of, it was something that should have gone on like in the second match of the pay-per-view.
Right.
Like it was too far, way too far into it for like just kind of goofing around.
Yeah, and they're like on all fours staring at each other before the match. And like, what the?
Yeah, and at one point the Samoans did like a twin magic spot.
Yes, they
by
did.
Hugging each other, and they did it like right in front of the referee.
Yeah.
So referee looked like a fucking idiot. It was like a three-card, it was a three-card Monty or something.
Right, yeah.
You know, it was terrible.
It was Humperdinck's idea.
Yeah, and I was just like, what are they, are the centers tired? Like, why are,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what's going on here? It was just really, this was the worst match of the show, I thought.
I agree.
And everybody was good.
Well, you know,
there was no reason for it to be a bad match, but it was a badass match.
And the Samoans were rested. I mean, this is only their second match.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still running off a little adrenaline or momentum, should have performed better.
Yeah, I mean, at one point, Rikishi took a Frankensteiner.
Yes.
And I was like, damn, that was a badass move.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The Frankensteiner was awesome. I don't know why someone should do that. Someone should bring it back. Because, like, the Hurricane Rana.
It's a lot of reverse Hurricane Ranas now.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, the reverse Frankensteiners, I mean.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, but, I mean, the Hurricane Rana is not as cool as the Steiner. Frankensteiner. Frankensteiner was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was cool. But. I totally forgot that they had that no over the top rope rule back then.
Yes. And that was a staple in the NWA.
And that was another Herd thing, wasn't it?
No, it was before him.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yes, it
okay.
Was.
I thought that
Herd
was
Herd instituted no power bombs. And
the coolest move in wrestling.
Yes. And for a time, no moves off the top rope.
I knew that one.
Yeah. When you have a guy like Flying Brian on your roster.
Right.
Well, guess what? Now he's a Matt wrestler.
Now he sucks.
Yeah. Now he's Matt Ground and Pound Pillman. Like, come on, man. Just knock it off.
What a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Road Warriors can't do their finish. Come on, man. What are you doing?
Yeah. So they yeah. So they won. The Samoans won by DQ.
Yes.
They got 10 points.
Yep.
And I think it had to be a points thing. I think it was a mathematical thing.
Right.
Where I think the Steiners had to get disqualified, but they didn't want to get disqualified by hitting with a chair or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I think by the end of it, like, they still had a chance to win. Like, even though the Warriors were wrestling the SST, the Steiners still could have won it.
Right.
But, like, something had to happen.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, but here again, you're having to do math and figure things out. And, like, can I just enjoy a wrestling show? And why are there no titles being defended?
Exactly. Right, right, right. And they weren't even, like... Maybe they should have had a graphic on the screen with everyone's points during the match
or
something.
Exactly, so
or
a ticker going along the bottom or
something. Until they get to the whore scorecard, the whore card,
The whore card, yes.
You have no idea what's going on.
Right.
So, yeah, it was clunky and just...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cornette was totally right about this one. It is not Stan.
He's always right.
Yeah, he is.
All right. So, after what was his longest break, Great Muta versus Lex Luger.
So the first thing I noticed, and like, I swear, dude, I'm like, I always notice everything but match a lot of times. Like, I'm like, you know me, I'm always like, oh yeah, fucking green shirt guys at Rodden.
Yeah.
Or that family with the fucking kid.
Yes.
Who the kid is like grown and doesn't go every week anymore, but the mom and dad are still there.
Right.
Or the Peter Steele guy, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm always paying attention to what's going on in the audience. And I don't know why. It's like something wrong with my brain. The first thing I noticed about this match is the fucking Bridge Club were gone. Like, I think they went, I think they did a mint julep run or something.
Yeah, or it was bedtime.
Yeah. Well, no, because they did come back.
Oh, they did come back.
Yeah, so like either they had a pee or they went to get, you know, like whatever old ladies
more
in the
yarn
South drink.
For the knitting.
Yeah, they did a
and
yarn
mint
run.
Juleps, yes.
Yeah, they went to Hobby Lobby.
What? They love that place.
Yeah. But at this point, Muta's paint is like hanging off of his face.
He doesn't even give a fuck anymore.
He just
looks
so disheveled for having a long break.
Yeah, he's like a hot mess.
I could give you a benefit of the doubt that, yeah, you did wrestle two matches in one night. That will wipe you out, but it seemed like way too much that was being presented.
Yeah, the paint's peeling. He's got like a big white streak hanging off his face. It looks like a movie I saw once on the internet that we're not going to get into.
We won't discuss that.
Yeah.
Lars was in it.
Yeah. I took it like a man, didn't I?
Yeah, it was just a disaster. He looked like a complete wreck. Now his hair is even more fucked up. He's like woke up and didn't do his hair.
Right.
But I actually thought it was kind of cool, because what was cool about it, and I guarantee Muta was thinking this, is like, I'm going to look like a fucking fighter.
Yes.
Like, Luger's going to look like a fucking entertainer.
Prima Donna changing his fucking trunks.
Exactly, right. Like, I'm not into that, because I'm in the back with my fucking manager strategizing for the next match. Yes. I don't have time to fucking do my hair.
Right.
Right? So that it was kind of funny, but it was actually kind of cool at the same time.
Yeah, but then he walked away with 0 points. You're like, okay, maybe he wasn't strategizing with his manager.
Sake
bombs back there. He's like, fuck it.
Right. Yeah. So this is another thing. This whole show is like the most I've ever liked Lex Luger, because Luger gets in the ring and he's selling the shit out of his leg.
Yeah.
From the figure four.
From the previous match.
Right.
Yeah, it's like the smartest set of matches Luger's ever had.
Yeah, right. It was, because you always kind of think Luger's sort of fucking stupid.
Well, like when he sold the Michael Hayes DDT by landing on his back.
Right. I don't know what you're talking about, but
you've never seen that.
Wait, he sold a DDT by
Michael Hayes locked him in a front face lock for a DDT.
Okay.
And Michael Hayes shot himself back like you're supposed to when you're delivering a DDT.
Okay.
And normally your opponent goes with you under your arm.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael Hayes went to shoot back, falls on his back. Lex Luger went the exact opposite direction and sold it like he was like being pushed back.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, it was great. Vintage Luger.
Well, that's the end of Luger for me.
Yes. No more impressed by Luger.
Yeah. Hang on a second. What?
Did the dogs have dinner?
Yeah. Okay. Don't worry about the dogs. So Luger's a heel, right?
Yes, Luger's a heel. So each side had two faces, two heels.
But the crowd was kind of cheering for him?
Kind of, sort of. Like, he had just turned heel, so I'm not, like, totally sure if the crowd knew that yet, because he was kind of, like, being cheer-booed, right?
Or did they just hate him less than they hated the Japanese guy?
That could have had a lot to do with it.
That was sort of what I thought. Like, they hated the foreign heel more than the American.
Yeah, Luger didn't have a manager to also hate, whereas Muta did.
Right.
So, yeah, they just hated him a little bit less than they hated Muta.
Well, and looking at the crowd, most of these people were around during World War II, so I think they probably still had ill feelings about the Japanese.
Pearl Harbor job, yes.
Yeah, right. But, Muta just did the miss spot and got DQ'd.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of a stupid-ass finish.
Mm-hmm. Horrible finish.
I don't even know if that made Muta look good or bad, or I don't even know what to
I don't think they really cared.
They just had to squeeze that in at some point. Wait, you haven't done it yet? Throw it into this match.
Yeah, and get to kill.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Like, that was Muta's thing, and they were like, oh, just fucking whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Next one was a final match for the tag titles, Wild Samoans against the Road Warriors.
So suddenly it's the Samoans show.
Yes.
Right, it's like now they're in every
dominating
match.
The second half of the show.
Right. You can't. Yeah, you couldn't even see them on the first half, and now they're like, you can't get away from them.
And now they have a chance to win.
Yeah. The Road Warriors, I did not hear their music until this match.
You might be right.
Right? They didn't play Iron Man until this match for some reason.
Yeah, you might be right about that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the network dubbed it out and didn't play it until the end.
I mean, that
I'm
wouldn't
really
make
sure.
It wouldn't make sense to do that.
Not at all.
I have a feeling like someone at WCW fucking botched the whole thing.
Which is totally possible.
Right?
Yeah.
At one point, Animal took a pile driver and just popped right up.
That was a Road Warriors thing to do.
I mean, that's...
Hawk did that all the time.
Right, that's his... I mean, the Road Warriors were like the... They'd have a match with the guy who had never done a pile driver.
Right.
And suddenly they're doing a pile driver so the Road Warriors could
just
no-sell
it. Just so they could no-sell it,
He landed on his feet. Like, he bounced up out. He didn't go down and get up like Hercules did in that other match. He just bounced out of it off of his head and landed on his feet.
Yes. Very athletic.
It was crazy. Yeah.
It was like they practiced it.
Right. Yeah. But I think it was a fairly standard Road Warriors match.
Yeah. Right. And when it came down to this, you didn't think that the Steiners were going to win anymore. Like, there was no chance for the Steiners to go out and win it.
Right.
You're like, okay, they're clearly giving this to the Road Warriors. Because the SST is not going to beat the Road Warriors. They're not going to have a heel team win this thing. There's no way. You knew the Road Warriors were going to win as soon as they came out.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay, the Road Warriors are getting the last tag team match. That's, of course, who's going to take this whole thing.
Right, and then the Steiners came out and congratulated them.
Yes, they did.
But why didn't they jump them or something? You know what I mean? Like, they did nothing to set up anything. Like, there was no... It didn't seem like a missed opportunity. Like, they could have just...
No, because the Steiners were worth more to WCW as faces, and the Road Warriors had just had a failed heel turn. Like, the fans didn't buy that shit.
Yeah, but you could have a face-face match.
Well, they already had a face-face match.
Huh.
I mean, it would have made a lot of sense, because eventually they actually did do the Steiners versus Sting and Luger.
Yeah.
And I think the Road Warriors might have faced Sting and Luger as well at some point. But it didn't make sense for them to jump them right there, because the Road Warriors had the previous year done a failed heel turn.
Okay.
So you couldn't make the Road Warriors heels. And I think the Steiners were just, they were tag team champions. They were worth a lot of money to WCW as faces. Okay. It didn't make sense to turn them. It just
I guess that makes more sense.
Yeah, more sense for them to shake hands and congratulate and be done with it.
Right. Okay.
All right. Finally finish off the night. It turns out they both had some stakes to win the entire thing. So, yeah, ended up being a last singles match of the night between Sting and Ric Flair.
So Flair has to win by pin or submission or countout.
Yes.
He cannot win by a DQ because this whole thing is fucking ridiculously complicated.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of those old ladies is gone now. Completely. I can only assume she's passed. It was a good match, a really good match. It was a Flair match.
It was a Sting and Flair match.
Yeah, I mean, it was like...
The hundredth of many, many Sting and Flair matches.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was just every spot that Flair is known for, he got in.
He got it in.
You know, it was just, it could be some other guy in the ring doing all the same stuff, and you'd be like, he's ripping off Ric Flair.
Yes.
It was classic Flair.
Yeah.
It was good. I liked it a lot. The only thing I didn't like about it was the last minute. So it gets down to like the last minute of the match, right? And Flair's dicking around. Like, he's just like, I think... Because they announced like 1 minute left, and he's like outside the ring, like woo,
yeah,
like fooling around,
doing
and it was
Flair
like,
things, yeah.
And I was like, dude, they announced that over to PA. You heard that, like, you know how much time you have. Like, what are you doing?
Like, no sense of urgency. The match is tech. He has to win.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't even buy any cockiness if there was any when I watched it. Like, just nonchalant. Let me just get back to the match. No, if you were really wanting that championship, there'd be a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Which did not present.
Right. You don't become several time world champion by being a fucking idiot.
Right.
But Flair was
acting
like a fucking jerk.
You'd be an ultimate opportunist. You'd be an edge. You chase after that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're fucking around. Flair hits a figure four, and Sting rolls it over in a small package.
Yes. And that's game over.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because that's how he won the world title in July of the next year, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Won it on a small package. It was like a little bit longer form, but almost the same match, dude.
Yeah. Okay.
But the gimmick was that Sting had gotten his knee injured in February, the following February after Starrcade. And by July, it had mostly healed up, but he was still selling the leg in that match, but won it also on a small package.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, then the Horsemen come in and congratulate him.
Yes, you would think they were going to jump
him. Very weird way.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Right, yeah. And where was Tully?
Tully was...
There was no Tully.
No, because he... Wait. Starrcade 89. The Brainbusters were...
Had just come back. Arn had just come back without Tully.
So the Brainbusters only had an 8-month run in WWE?
I think it was longer than that, but... Not much.
Well,
longer.
WrestleMania 5 was 89.
Right.
And that was their WrestleMania debut, and they hadn't won the tag team titles yet.
Yeah.
So, dude, they were only in WWE.
Like a year, maybe?
But Arn was here in December of 89.
Right, but I mean, I don't know when they got to WWE. I mean, WrestleMania was their debut, but
I
don't know how many
months
before that they were there.
Okay. Man, so yeah, maybe a year then.
Yeah, but this is when Arn came back without Tully, when Tully failed the drug test in WWE and Hurd wouldn't bring him in.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, I thought the Four Horsemen were going to jump Sting. Like, that was a Horseman thing to do.
Yeah.
And you're just waiting for it. And then it was almost like they inducted him. And they kind of actually did induct him.
Right, yeah.
So he's considered like a very short-term horseman, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So then it goes... then the show gets weird.
Extremely weird. Okay, like, you caught about this botch
too.
Fest.
You caught this too, right?
Yes.
Did you catch this, Adam, with the interviews after the show?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God, dude. Now that's when it goes off the fucking rails, right? So you got LODs up on the top of the ramp right after this bit with the horseman. Gordon Solie interviews him, right? they just do like a typical Road Warriors promo. Just blah, 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 blah. And then Solie explains that he's going to try to get Sting up there for an interview.
As the credits are rolling.
And then the credits roll. And it's not just credits rolling over him. It's a full page graphic, right? Or a full screen graphic with credits rolling over it.
So it's Solie's a voice in the background.
So you can't see the ring or the arena or Gordon Solie or any of this shit. You could just see that, and Animal starts yelling about football players suck. Yeah. And we're better than football players. Yeah,
I totally missed this shit.
Yeah, we're better than football players.
Yeah, and then Sully's like, oh, we're going to try to talk to Sting, and then Flair comes up. Flair gets on the mic. They never get to Sting. You can never hear any of it.
No.
It was crazy. It was like the craziest ending I've ever seen to a pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was Goofy Town.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. But overall, it was a terrible, terrible concept for a pay-per-view. I'm sure that's why they never did it again.
Yes.
They
kind of did.
Oh.
To a very, very small extent, the next year, I mentioned Starrcade 90 earlier with Doom defending the tag titles. The next year, they did a USA versus the World tournament.
Okay.
But it was single elimination. And each country, they had 8 countries. They had USA, Japan, Mexico, Canada, England. They had 8 teams, and supposedly there was some tournament that took place where each country sent 2 representatives to be a tag team, and the USA's contingent was the Steiner brothers, Japan's was Mr. Saito and Great Muta.
Okay,
so Great Muta made a reappearance in WCW the following Starrcade. It was almost like a one-off. Conan was part of Team Mexico.
Oh, you told me about this.
Yes, but I think that they learned from the previous year's mistake and made this one single elimination. But it was another way to get the Steiner brothers over. The Steiners were not the tag team champions at this point.
Okay.
Doom was, but it was a way to keep the Steiners kind of at the top of the card.
Okay.
Yeah, so they kind of did take this concept and roll it into the next year, but made it single elimination instead of round robin.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so overall, I think it was a big fuck up.
Oh, it totally was.
It was mostly entertaining. Like, I did enjoy most of the matches.
Mm-hmm.
Muta got fucked. Doom got fucked.
Yes.
I thought the TV directing part of it was terrible.
Especially the last part with the interviews.
Like, that part. And there was
garbage.
I forgot to mention earlier, one of the tag team matches, they were like, the teams were in the opposite, not the opposite corners, but the other corners for some reason.
Oh, like Jesse Ventura would have been like, changed tag ropes.
Right, they would have been like in the neutral corners. Yeah. I was like, is nobody fucking directing this? Like, you know what I mean? It was just like, looked just weird. And like, probably a lot of people didn't catch that, but like, that's the shit that I always catch, is like the weird little things that are goofy, like the old lady who's dead.
Right.
R.I.P. But overall, I wouldn't say it was a bad pay-per-view.
But it wasn't great. It doesn't stand up. It definitely is not as good as I remember it being.
Yeah.
Back in 89 when I watched it.
Yeah.
It doesn't stand up well.
It was rushed and unimpressive. Like, just the added factor of, like, because you're doing a round robin tournament, you have to squeeze all these matches in with time limits. And they only got, it felt like a majority only got good because they were reaching that time limit. It's like, okay, this is your cue to really turn it up.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you build that up naturally in the match?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Yeah. And the whole points thing and having to keep track of all the points, just, it really,
it was clunky.
Took away from it. Yeah. Clunky. It was very clunky. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about, I think we pretty much covered that.
Great stage, though. Yeah.
The stage was fucking dope, dude.
Yep. Great stage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
So, for those of you that did watch it at the time, what were your reactions to it? Or those of you that have been introduced to it now, let us know what you think. Are our perceptions about this particular pay-per-view accurate? I mean, these are our perceptions. We're entitled to those. But again, just want to know what you thought about Starrcade 89, Future Shock. And if you were to implement education into wrestling, how would you execute it? I want to see how that format would be complicated and how it would not work. But so on behalf of Scott and Eddie, I'm Adam, just reminding you to enjoy your buzz, watch wrestling responsibly, as well as math class, and drink like nobody's watching. 1, 2, 3. See y'all.
Cheers.
This one girl who really liked wrestling. Yo, we should body slam. She would always text me. She says she likes it hardcore. Baseball bats and barbed wire. Thumbtacks that are on fire. Yo, I think something ain't right. She threw me through a table last night. She don't know it ain't real life.
You should see our home movies. They're pretty tight.
I'm in awe and it's awesome. She's like dope, it's a problem. Yeah, she a funny hoe.
She's always
fashion. I was like, girl, you so stone cold. You Steve Austin, steel cage match in Madison Square Garden. Your ding ding, we're just getting started.
Let's get ready to rumble.
I can take some bumps, man. I can take some tumbles. But she thinks that every night is like a fucking Royal Rumble. And I start to get a little scared when she grabs her steel chair like she's on the top rope. Girl, how'd you get there? Yo, I think something ain't right. Gave me the people's elbow last night.
I wouldn't let her do that again.
I'm in awe and it's awesome. She's like dope, it's a problem. Yeah, she a funny hoe.
She's always laughing.
And a middle finger always flashing. I was like, girl, you so stone cold. You Steve Austin, steel cage match in Madison Square Garden. Your ding ding, we're just getting started.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Shorty. Down if you called your friend, we could have a little doubt for the tag team championship. An Irish whip to the ropes, I'm bouncing back with a clothesline, think the belt's mine. Then you drops the leg drop, the Brooke Hogan, her finishing move and a slogan. I'm knocked up, I'm Seth Rogen.
What,
man,
what you been smoking?
I'm in awe and it's awesome. She's like dope, it's a problem. Yeah, she a funny hoe.
She's always laughing.
I was like, girl, you so stone cold. You Steve Austin, steel cage match in Madison Square Garden. Ding ding, we're just getting started.
Let's get ready to rumble,
shorty.